Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies, Compared Your Speaker. Today on the broadcast, we will continue our series of studies, The Living Evidences of God, or you might put it, the Evidences of the Living God. And today, with the help of the Lord, we wish to consider the subject, a living faith. And our theme verse again, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And of course, that one is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, the words living faith per se are not contained in the scriptures, but by inference, that's exactly what it is. It is living faith in a living God. Now, we read in James chapter 2, I think this is a very, very important portion of scripture in regard to faith being dead, and that's what James calls it. James chapter 2 and verse 14. Notice what James has to say, as he is, of course, led by the Spirit of God. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? My Bible has it, my margin has it. Can that faith save him, that kind of faith? If a brother or sister be naked, and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Faith that does not produce works is dead faith. And by inference, faith that does produce good works is living faith in a living God. Now, this is a much misunderstood portion of Scripture, and I want to read on, and then we'll comment on it. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? It is a dead faith. If we have faith, we will produce works. Now, works are not necessary for salvation. I've heard so many people say, I've got to do something to be saved. I want to do something to be saved. Well, you can't. It's all been done. You're just 2,000 years too late. Christ did it all on the cross of Calvary when he died for you and for me. Now, you and I, we realize that when we're saved. But for so many people, they feel that works are necessary for salvation. You have to show your sincerity by your works. Well, now, works are necessary for the faith of man, and they do give comfort, and they are comforting when we see a person who says he's a Christian proves it by what he does. That does give us comfort. Faith without works is dead. You can put it this way. Faith is the cause. Works are the effect. But I've got to have the faith first. The works do not produce the faith. The faith produces the works. And so faith without works is dead. It's a misplaced faith. And let us understand very, very clearly that works are not necessarily for salvation. As we've already said, it was all done at the cross 2,000 years ago by our Lord Jesus Christ when he died on that cross to take away our sins. Never let us mix the two, faith and works. James is so pragmatic. He's so practical. Now he says, you claim that you're saved. Your life doesn't prove it. We have a right to expect people who are really saved to show it by their lives. And that's exactly what James is talking about. Now let's get the matter settled in our own minds and trust Christ and Christ alone for our salvation. He is a 100% Savior. Nothing that we can do can save us. Our Lord said that to a number of people that came to him in John chapter 6. They came to him and they were anxious to do something to prove that they were good people. And they said, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Jesus saith unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." God sent his own Son into the world. And that's what God wants from you, is faith to believe that he did it out of love to you and to me. John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Oh, what a wonderful verse. But it's believing. "Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And not a thing is said about works. But the works will follow. James is correct. Now we read in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God all the way, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now, could it be any plainer than that? Now, are James and Paul in contradiction of each other? No, they're not. James is talking about that practical expression of faith, which shows itself in works. The Apostle Paul is talking about that faith in Christ, as we read in John 3:16, that brings us everlasting life. "Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." All right, now, let's go on and see what faith will do in our lives, because living and active, it is indeed powerful. Faith will bring me eternal life, as we've already said, noted, because it can be obtained in no other way. Now, faith will help me to live the life that faith brings. It will help me to live it. First of all, it will direct my walk. We read in 2 Corinthians, chapter 5 and verse 7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Notice, please, we walk by faith, not by sight. The Christian walks in communion with God. He is not governed by circumstances. The person that doesn't know Christ, he has to pay much attention to circumstances. But the Christian, he does bring circumstances into account in his thinking, of course. But God is the God of circumstances. We have something that's better than circumstances. We have the God that controls the circumstances. And we walk not by faith, or rather we walk by faith, not by sight. Faith is the ruling principle of the Christian life. Now, when it does that happen that way, it will inspire us to go on for God and to trust him. Now, it inspires to service. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, we read there, "Remembering without ceasing," Paul writes to his beloved Thessalonians, "remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love." Work of faith. The work that faith produces, Paul says, I can see it and I'm thrilled by it. "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." Now that's what Paul was looking for, and he saw it. And it did him so much good. And faith inspires to service. Love is the spring. The works are the result. Then it empowers me through the medium of prayer. We read in Mark chapter 9, our Lord Jesus Christ is talking to a man that is very deficient in faith. Listen to what he says in verse 23. Mark 9 and 23. "Jesus saith unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes." When I have faith, I have opened the door to the power of God. Faith lays hold upon God. Faith has no strength in itself. Its strength lies in the faith, in the God in which that faith is placed. And now it empowers me through prayer to serve God. And faith overcomes the world. We read in John's first epistle, chapter 5 and verse 4, these words: "Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." We do not need this world and what it gives. We have the one who controls the world. We have the Father. And that Heavenly Father indeed is moved by our prayers, as we have already said. And faith produces the works, not the works, faith. And faith has God in sight. Oh, what faith did when it opened the door. I'll never forget the night that I was saved. I'll never forget the night when I saw it in all clearness, because I was the living example of the person that believed that I had something to do with it. And I just could not give up the thought in mind, I've got to do something to merit the favor of God. And I saw it as I never saw it before, from Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, where we read there, the Lord Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And I saw myself for the first time, heavy laden with the burden of my own sins. I was trying to put them away by my efforts, and I couldn't do it. I didn't have any peace. But when I heard that verse, "Come unto me, the Lord is the speaker, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest," I thought, how can he give me rest? And then it occurred to me, by the power of the Spirit of God, because he has already borne the burden ahead of me. He has taken away my sins by his life, and I don't have to bear the burden. Why should I die for my sins when Christ has already died for them? What a waste not to exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for me to take away my sins. God gave him for that very, very purpose. And that was my happy experience that night. Well, I rested my soul in the Lord Jesus. I don't have to do anything to be saved but just take it from God's hand by faith as a gift, as we read there in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then also in Romans 6 and 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What do you have to do to receive a gift? Well, you have to believe that the giver is earnest in giving it to us, and then reach out the hand of faith and take it from him. Our Father, we pray today in the name of the Lord Jesus that you will help us place our faith unreservedly in you, we ask, giving thanks in Christ's name. Amen.